Joshua, Selma, Nima. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May God bless you, Lester. Thank you. Thank you. Really honored again to be having this wonderful time with us. Please help me honor Pastor Dele and his dear wife. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you sincerely. The Bible says that they that rule well should be counted for double honor. And so I believe that this is one of the things that God is doing within the body of Christ, creating that sense of mutual respect, that recognition, and that honor for everyone's gift. And when we see people who are deserving of honor, we must be matured, spiritual, and vocal enough to appreciate the gift of God in them. One more time, let's bless God. Hallelujah. And for the woman of God, Pastor Deborah, incredible, incredible, incredible. Where is she? Is God? Okay. Very, very profound. Am I doing something wrong? Very profound delivery of the word. Hallelujah. Whilst I was listening to her speaking, the scripture that came to my mind is, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I honor every man and every woman of God in this place. Thank you, by the way. I came with Reverend Akila. I'm just watching him, please. Thank you, sir. Amen. Just allow me to say a word or two, particularly for the men and the women of God, and then we'll be seated. Never trivialize the sacrifices that ministers of the gospel make on account of the name of Jesus. And while it is true that the graces that we carry and the light we have seen may differ based on many factors, the election of grace, our personal presses and passion as far as spiritual things are concerned, everyone who names the name of Christ and lives to serve this grace to the nations is deserving of honor. I need to say this because I believe God is doing something in Leicester. And there is an orientation that we may have. It's good to appreciate and celebrate Joshua Selman, but it should not be at the detriment of the spiritual voices that labor in word and doctrine within your city. Hallelujah. So, the idea is not a great anointed man of God coming to outshine, coming to display ministry. The body of Christ is stepping into a higher level of maturity where we are showing that in unity we are stronger, and that we have the ability to discern the various investments of the Spirit as He has deposited. Are we together? The reason why you can gather here tonight is because someone labored before our arrival, and we must appreciate them. Hallelujah. So I really want to take this moment to thank and appreciate. I know that there are several pastors here. Doesn't matter the denomination. We may differ across thoughts. We may see things differently here and there. But the most important thing is that we're gathered together in the name of Jesus. Our similarities are greater than our differences. Hallelujah. And so I'm saying this for the sake of those who have come. We must have this as a kingdom culture to give regard and accord respect. Are we together? On account of the labor that God's people do in word and in doctrine, and not to isolate a pastor just because of membership size or maybe limitation in revelation. We may differ, there's no doubt about that. The great is great. The small can be great. We cannot deny the investment of God's grace upon our lives, but we must be humble enough to, if need be, reach down and celebrate the man of God who labors over one person. Because great starts with one. When you deduct one, it can stop an object, a people, a territory, even revival from being called great. So some preacher somewhere may not have the opportunity perhaps to gather a crowd like this, but don't despise Anna the prophetess. Her prayer brought Jesus. She never had a chance to speak at a crusade ground, but her intercession, faceless. She was only mentioned when Jesus came into the temple, but how could you ignore her ministry? So one more time, I want us to appreciate every man of God, every woman of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you learning already? Now, we're going to appreciate everyone who is interested in God's program enough. Because you see, don't despise David because he's in the wilderness. Saul is already on the throne, but there is another king being made. Doesn't have the beauty and the honor of the palace yet. If you ignore David, one day you will be forced to pay the price. Because David, as a shepherd, would soon be king. I have this as an orientation. And so when I reach down to people, and some of them, you know, once you see people who God has lifted, you can admire them, but never should it be to the detriment of your dealing with God. Are you learning now? Yes. Everyone who has gone before you is worthy of your admiration, but respect what God is doing in and through you. Respect the fact that He's making you. Respect the fact that Gideon can become a warrior. Respect the fact that Esther can become a queen. Respect the fact that David can become king. Hallelujah. And it's my prayer that after this conference, that many Davids, many Esthers, many Deborahs, many who are now in the cave of Adullam, being trained, being built, that God will hand over to you the keys that can make the ordinary to become extraordinary. Is it all right we pray now? Hold hands with someone on your left, your right. And just for a minute or two, can we pray in the Spirit? Go ahead.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. Oh, holy, holy, blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. Blessed is he who comes. We worship you. We hail you.
We hail Shabala Kaparados Kabranda Balados Kadabalanda Braska Baradaka Shalabaradabas Shabranda Baragada Balaka Kabraska Baratos Mata Pratagada Barataka Dabraska Balagatos Shaida Basalanda Barakata Braska Balaga Baratos Yada. We hail you. Alabadakosa de landa kabarakos kabris la da brandas kabaratos la grenda da barostasia da badagada shai da barakata balanta sa da balake parus kabris dia de bando sobre da balla da shabalagada raita baradagada braskada balanto shodobas seba shada sena takabarakos kati Barakota Branda Berekato Parakatoska Brede Balakata Baratos. Few more seconds and then you'll be ready to see. Halada Barado Gata Brede Gebelegeba. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head. Ha! You're my glory, the lifter up of my head. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory, you lift my head. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of my head. Prophesy over yourself. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head.
Spirit of the living God, we submit to your wisdom. We submit to your power. Let the hallowed bread be broken. Cause our eyes to see. Cause our ears to hear. Cause our hearts to receive. Indeed, we are in the season of the harvest. Teach us our hands to fight. Teach us our fingers to make war. I just sense that we should take a minute just to press in the Spirit again. I believe that something is happening. There is a birthing. There is a birthing. There is an expression. Your spirit man is finding expression. Shabarata selabarato shilakaba. Krada sabarate shabarikas. Sebalagabarakus. Prate paradu kalibaratu shadebaladada. Go ahead. A few more seconds. Let there be an ascendance in the spirit. Let there be an enlargement in the spirit. Shebarada bagada balaka paradu siyada. Kapratika paratos kabrande balakura sidaba. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please be seated. God bless you. saying, when you are in the atmosphere of the glory, it is important for you to understand the many things that happen in an atmosphere like this. Number one, there are spirit communications beyond what the preacher is saying. There are things you will hear that did not come from the altar. Because while we speak, God is also speaking. And He has a way of communicating certain things that are unique to your dealing. So in the midst of the things that you will be hearing, you must be positioned to hear the other things you need to hear. Hallelujah. Number two, in an atmosphere like this, there are quickenings. To be quickened means to be alive unto a reality. Alive, consciousness, in your life. Are we understanding this now? So just because you are alive does not mean you are conscious. There is a quickening of the spirit so that the word of God becomes profitable. And like I told us in the morning, this is one of the assignments of the apostolic ministry. Ephesians 3 and verse 9. It imparts a grace that can make all men see. All men can see depending on the influence that they are under. To make all men see, the faculty of perception, that what is being said now makes sense. Regardless how complicated it sounds, you are able to receive because you are under the influence of a grace. Hallelujah. The third thing that happens in an atmosphere like this is there are distributions of graces and possibilities. It does not end with the speakings of men. And the Spirit entered me, Ezekiel 2:2, when He spake unto me. There is a grace dimension to every revelation. And the grace dimension is what empowers you to walk in keeping. It says, now that ye know these things, happy are you if you do them. The power to do is different from the power to hear. They heard the word just like we did, but the word did not profit them. Their problem was not ignorance. The grace to do, it's called the doing grace. Hallelujah. Ever learning, but never coming unto the knowledge of the truth. And so it's important for you to discern that whilst you are listening, for many of you, there are all kinds of impartations that will be happening. All kinds of impartation, wisdom, even at a higher level. It says, thou shalt call Joshua the son of Nun, in whom is the spirit already, and thou shalt lay your hands upon him, and thou shalt take some of your honor and give to him, so that the nation of Israel will hearken unto him. There are distributions that happen. Don't expect to just hear, expect to receive. After all, we are talking about the harvest. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So in the morning we began a discussion on the harvest, particularly looking at our mandate to the nations. I did tell us that God's program upon the earth is threefold. For those of you who were not here in the morning, that God has a program that is unique to the world of unbelievers, the unsaved. God has a program that is unique to His church. Are we together? And God has a program for the nations. And that it's important that these threefold dimensions be captured in your understanding of the Great Commission. It is not just to the unbelievers, it is not just to believers, are we together? And it is not just to the nations. But that in order of priority, God's highest priority is His program, the fruition, the accomplishment of His program to the world of the unsaved. Hallelujah. We consider the scripture, and from that scripture, we brought a name, the name that God calls everyone who is unsaved. He does not call them sinners, He calls them the harvest. It's a switch. Something happens to you when you begin to see the unsaved not as a sinner, but as a harvest. The orientation as a sinner would drive you away from them. But the moment you see them as a harvest, it gives you the basis to look at them from the lens of God's love, and you are empowered to reach out to them. Are we together? But tonight, for the sake of time, we'll be looking at the harvest in another dimension, and I trust by the Spirit of God to show us a mystery as we pray. Are you ready? Galatians chapter 6, please. We'll begin our reading from verse 7. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's read together. If you can see projected, you read on behalf of those who can see. Ready? One, two, read. Do not be deceived. Hold on. Don't rush the reading. The Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever, that is the name of a seed, the soil. The name of the seed is whatsoever. Not just mango, not just orange. Whatsoever can be a seed in the spirit. And now he says there are two kinds of soils. Number one, he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap. It doesn't matter what he reaps, there is an assurance that there will be a reaping. Then he now says, he who sows to the Spirit will also of the Spirit reap. So by this revelation, every man is a farmer. And every man has a seed. Whether you are aware it is a seed or not, the Bible says even nothing is a seed. Whatsoever a man, not angels, not spirits, whatsoever. This is the business that is in the world of men. Whatsoever a man sows. So be assured that when you sow, you will reap. Whether you are aware you are sowing or not. Understand what Paul is teaching the church now. So he says, verse 8, that you are given the possibility of sowing across two different kinds of soils. When Jesus was teaching, physically speaking, he brought forth four different kinds of soils. But now, this is spirit communication, that you have the liberty of sowing to the flesh is a soil. And you can sow to the spirit. And that either way, he leaves you with an assurance that you will reap. So we see the seed, whatsoever. We see the soil, the flesh, and the spirit. Are you ready for the harvest? That corruption there means anything at all that does not reflect the life and the power of God. Corruption in its entirety is a harvest. A man can program corruption as defeat. A man can program corruption. Are we together now? By sowing, whether or not you are aware, please understand this. My goodness. I'm reaping the harvest God promised me. Take back what the devil stole from me, and I rejoice today. So if you sow to the flesh, it says you will reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap everlasting life. Do we understand so far? So do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. whatsoever as a seed you can sow to the soil of the flesh, you can sow to the soil of the spirit. And the Bible says either ways there is an assurance. That means if you don't reap, God is mocked. Did you get that now? My God. He starts by saying, don't be deceived. You cannot manipulate this law. You cannot politicize this law. God is not mocked. His jealousy is behind the outcomes. He supervises to see that this law does not break. Do you understand this now? And he says, whatsoever a man sows, that man will reap. If you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. If you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. The outcomes that are captured in our lives are not just dependent on the will of God. They are not just dependent on the love of God. They are dependent on this mystery and this principle. This is the reason why you can find two believers. This is the reason why you can find territories. This is the reason why you can find families. This is the reason why you can find businesses. Are we together? Even if all saved, loved by the same God, but the quality of their Christian experience can become east and west apart. And sometimes you wonder, it looks like injustice. How could God so lavish His grace on an individual, a family, a business, a church, and a ministry, and then seem to ignore another? We are unraveling that puzzle now, because the Bible is saying that is not just love dependent. The same Lord is rich unto all, but there is a mystery that most believers are not aware of. They know they are believers, but they were not taught they were farmers. And that every day you and I are given the liberty, provided it is called today, you are given the liberty to sow seeds, and you are given an assurance that there is a harvest waiting for you. So the question is not whether you have a harvest. The question is whether it is the harvest you really desired. It is on account of this teaching you will see the value of things like the mercy of God. You see that now? Yeah. Because based on this law, there are people, families, territories that may never rise on account of the seeds that they are sown. If you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting. Are we together? This is profound. So the Bible tells us that a man can make investments. A man can sow. A man can plant. And that when you plant, you will reap. Do not be weary in well-doing. Verse 9. Let's read together. 1, 2, read please. So he starts by telling you that God is a God of integrity. He will not be mocked. Follow the progression. Then the next thing Paul tells us, he describes the kinds of seeds that we have, and he calls the seed whatsoever. Are we together? Then he proceeds to describe the kinds of soils that you can sow to the flesh and to the spirit. Then Paul tells you the harvest, that you can reap a harvest called corruption, and you can reap a harvest called life eternal. He ends by teaching you how to plant. He teaches you how to sow, and this is how to sow. Let us not grow weary in doing good or in well-doing. Your doing is your sowing. Your doing is your planting. And he says, we will reap in due season if we fail not. So our seeds represent our honor to spiritual things or despising spiritual things. They are all seeds that when you get up in the morning and you choose as an act of your will, in partnership with the Word of God, in partnership with the Spirit of God, to invest in your spiritual life, you are sowing. To invest in your understanding, you are sowing. Are we together? If you choose to ignore God, it is also a seed. You are sowing. And that both soils are powerful, they can produce. Negligence of spiritual things is a seed. Despising the Word of God is a seed. Despising prophesying is a seed. Laziness is a seed. Carelessness is a seed. Excuses are seeds. Whatsoever. Hatred is a seed. Rage is a seed. Whatsoever. And so he's saying that when it gets to the time of harvest and you see what is coming to you, don't blame God. That there is a system that insists that God is not mocked. You don't need to tell us what you are sowing. The harvest is obvious. It will reveal the kind and the quality. Don't tell me you prayed for 5 hours. Don't tell me you studied for 2 hours. No. If it is a seed, God cannot be mocked. Don't tell me that you gave and you give every day. That may not be necessary, except just to encourage people. But that everything that is hidden eventually as a harvest, every seed grows because it is buried. But the harvest, even if buried, must be dug out at the point of harvest. Is someone learning now? This is very powerful. So he says, let us not be weary. That means this consciousness is what empowers you. That when you want to give up, you remember, I am a farmer. My tomorrow has to be greater than my today. If you do not have this revelation, weariness will be your lot. He's saying when you see people continue, when you see that they do not give up, it's not just that they are superhuman as it were. The tendency for weariness comes upon all men. But this is the revelation that keeps others going. Prayer, for instance, is not a gift. You can be helped by the Spirit. To assist does not mean to replace your effort. It means to make possible and to make easy. That is the assignment of help. So when you invest in prayer, even when you are tired, even when you are sleeping, when you invest in the Word, like you left your home, some of you flew in, it's a seed. You're coming here. You're sitting under this grace. It's a seed. It's part of your commitment to a tomorrow that looks like what God has said. Listen, if most people know this, we will stop blaming God for the many outcomes in our lives. He gave you a seed and left a principle. The name of the seed is whatsoever. Did you ever know that a seed, whatsoever? Goodness. Whatsoever a man sows. Who does the sowing? A man. Whatsoever a man sows. He says, that will he reap. A man can mean a man of God. A man can mean a man desiring influence. A man can mean a man desiring resources. A man can mean a man desiring efficiency. Any kind of man, provided you are a man, you have the gift and the exclusive privilege of being a farmer. But the Bible says you can sow to the flesh and you can sow to the spirit. And if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you will reap life everlasting. How do you sow? By doing. Your doing. Your doings. As you engage upon the earth every day, in words, in deed, your actions, the Bible lets us know that a planting is happening. Pastor Dele is coming to Leicester. Your obedience was a seed. While you obeyed, you were sowing. Today, we see that he sent you because the harvest speaks. You see that now? Let me show you. Give us Acts chapter 4 from verse 42. How do you sow? By continuing steadfastly. Continuing steadfastly. Continuing steadfastly. 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Thank you. And they continued steadfastly. Sowing is in your doing. Sowing is in your consistency. They continued steadfastly. Not occasionally, not once in a while. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Next verse, please. The Bible says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. It says, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. Next verse. It says, they sold their possessions and their goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing, how long? I'm showing you how we sow. Continuing daily in the prayer. Continuing daily in the study of the word. Continuing daily as you invest in your mind. Continuing daily as you build strategic relationships. Continuing daily as you pay attention to God's blueprint for your life and your destiny. They continuing daily. Daily, with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all men. I like this one. And the Lord added. Who did the addition? But the consistency was the believer, the apostolic community. The Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. Now, let me submit to you that many believers, please look up, many believers believe in the love of Jesus, and that is powerful. We taught that in the morning. Many believers believe that they have been called onto a life of victory, a life of glory, and that is true. But most people have not studied the dynamics as to how that happens. So, the average believer is hoping that one day his life or her life would magically evolve to become an instrument of glory. One day, things will change, we say. One day, I will be great. No. The Bible says that your tomorrow is a harvest. You can predict it by looking at what you are doing with your today. If you sow to the flesh, it will be unfair and be unjust to sow laziness, laxity. Are we together now? Despising spiritual things. And then you want to reap the destiny of one who has committed himself tirelessly. It does not work that way. The Bible says if that happens, God has been mocked. Now you see, the one who sows to the flesh and the one who sows to the spirit, please watch this. Until the harvest comes, you will not see the excellency of their investment. It all looks the same. It is when the man who sowed wheat and the enemy who sowed tears, they all look the same. When he said the enemy has done this, he said, hold on. If you try to separate them now, you're going to cause confusion, because at infancy they all look the same. Wait for harvest. Harvest will reveal something that will tell you which one is wheat. The secret to knowing which one is wheat and which one is tare is be patient. Let harvest come. So you can be praying and it does not look like anything is happening. The prayerful and the prayerless may seem to have the same destiny for a while. The diligent and the lazy may seem to have the same destiny for a while. The committed, the one who learns, are we together now? That every time you see evil and good seeming to coexist, be patient. When you see Joseph and the wine presser in the prison, be patient. They are not sowing the same seed. Although they are in the prison, be patient. One day you will see what Joseph is sowing by seeing what he becomes. Are we learning now? The prison, like the soil, is where all kinds of seeds meet. And as they begin to grow, they look alike, deceptively alike. And you have to wait for the harvest. The meaning of that is that there are some of you here, you have been sowing quietly since you came to the United Kingdom. No help, but you speak the word every night. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid of? The Lord is the strength of my light. And your results may look the same, like someone who has ignored and despised God. And because Satan is the master of the flesh realm, the sense realm, he will come to let you know that there is no value in your speaking the word of God, in your coming to church, in your building your spirit man. Be patient. Harvest will tell the kind of soil that you have sown. If you see corruption, you have sown to the flesh. If you see life in all of its ramifications, even abundant life, it tells you the kind of soil. Hallelujah. It says, on account of this, let us not be weary. So the entire discourse was to stop weariness. But he had to follow that route to convince you. If he just said, be diligent, continue, it wouldn't make sense. So he had to take the time to tell you, number one, that God cannot be mocked. Number two, that everyone has a seed. Seeds, whatsoever. Number three, that the soil you are allowed to sow across one of these soils, the flesh or the spirit. Are we together now? And that your doing, your daily activities, your investments, your priorities are your planting. And the harvest is corruption, defeat, mediocrity, a life of shame, a life of pain, a life that misrepresents the purposes of God. That through the lens of your life, you will sell a Jesus that the nations will reject, because you cannot project a Jesus that represents beauty and glory and power and wisdom. The reason is because if the nations depend on your life to learn Jesus, because of the kind of harvest that is coming from your life, you will misrepresent him. Or when the excellence and the glory of the Spirit comes from and through your life, you can compel all and sundry to love Jesus, to learn him, to desire him. The Bible says we are his workmanship, Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Are we learning already? For someone, whilst you are listening to me, the Spirit of God is speaking to you that you have been sowing, wasting your whatsoever, sowing to the flesh, and it's time to take advantage of the grace of God. You will now know the value of this mysterious entity called the Lord of the Harvest. Do you know why he's called the Lord of the Harvest? He's the Lord of the Harvest because he can exert dominion over every seed. It is within his power to mete out the mercy of God and to stop certain seeds from growing. That under a certain condition, even though you have sown to the flesh,
under the influence of the Lord of the harvest. Do you know what it means to be Lord? Lord means whatever he does is right. He's the owner. Because there are many of us here, based on God's divine justice, the truth is that we have not made spiritual investments in life, respectfully speaking, in ministry, in our endeavors, that will allow the glory of the Lord we intend to be revealed to be revealed. Most of us have not built that capacity. God cannot trust us with certain things. There are certain weighty things in the spirit we cannot be trusted with, because our capacity, the Bible says, an heir, for as long as he's a child, he differeth not from a slave, even though he be Lord of all. Hallelujah. But I want to show us tonight, and this is my emphasis, I want to show us how to reap. There are many believers who do not understand that there's a system in the kingdom. Just because you have a harvest, even if it is a glorious harvest, does not mean you will profit from it. Can you imagine that? That with the assumption that you have sown to the Spirit, the Bible says you will reap. But reaping is not profiting. You can reap and yet not profit from it. Are we together now? If you do not know how to reap, you can have a bumper harvest, in fact, and everything will waste. Can I show you a scripture? Turn with me to the book of Joel, chapter 1, from verse 8 to 12. Do you love the word of God? Joel. Now please follow carefully as I read. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. Verse 9. The meat offering, watch this, and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests and the Lord's ministers mourn. Next verse. We'll stop at verse 10. I will look at 11 and 12 later on. But I want us to read verse 10. Ready? One, two, read. The corn can be wasted. That everything you have, you will be surprised, it's already corn, but it can be wasted in the field. In fact, don't tempt me to go to verse 11. Let's try 11. It says, be ye ashamed, O ye husbandman, haul, O ye vine dressers. Why? It says, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The harvest of the field, there is already a harvest, and yet it can perish for the simple reason you knew how to sow. Maybe the right seeds, but now to receive and to profit from it, because you lacked that ability, the harvest can perish. Can we see what the word of God has to say about reaping? Pray in 1 minute that the Lord would open your eyes to see. Open your eyes to see by the Spirit of the living God. Shamarando sabri gavalako sabradisya. Hallelujah. When the harvest comes, you must master the skill of reaping. Ruth chapter 2, verse 1.
I receive and manifest your power and your wisdom till the nations see Jesus lifted up, exalted I receive, I manifest your power and your wisdom till the nations see Jesus lifted up, glorified.
This is a very powerful scripture. Please be patient and lend me your attention as I read. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, watch this, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Next verse. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Next verse. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. She met certain people called reapers. It was time for harvest, but the harvest was at the mercy of the reapers. And she said, I also want to join the reapers. You see that now? I hope that I will find grace. I was not there. I didn't have the opportunity to sow. But I hear that there are reapers. That is the point of profit. I want to go and join them to also be a reaper. Peradventure, they will give me an opportunity to glean. The only way to take the harvest back home is that I'll have to be a reaper. Hallelujah. Verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Reapers are men. They are not just sowers. They are men called reapers. The one who profits finally is not just the sower, not just the one who waters, but the one who knows how to be a reaper. When he came to his farm, Boaz, his field, he came to supervise the operation of reapers. Please listen. And he said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And Boaz said unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Verse 6. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabite's damsel that came with Naomi out of the country of Moab. Are we still here? And she said, I pray you, let me glean, let me gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came. Look at her request. I didn't have the opportunity to sow with you. I didn't have the opportunity to watch the crops grow. But I hear, when I saw that there was a harvest, I knew there have to be reapers there. If profit will happen from that harvest, there must be reapers. So I came to plead, if you can allow me be a reaper. The Bible says she had continued even from morning till now, that she tarried a little in the house. Verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, watch this, hearest thou not, my daughter? He says, do not go to glean in another field, neither go from thence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Verse 9. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go to the vessels and drink that which the young men have drawn. Next verse. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said, why have I found grace in thy eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing that I am a stranger? 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it had been fully, my God. Listen, I want to show you something powerful now. She thought she did not deserve a harvest, but because God cannot be mocked, Boaz was showing her the seed she sowed. Do not be deceived. That even though your seed was not sown in the farm, there was something you did, and you have the qualification to reap. Watch this. Boaz answered and said unto her, it had been fully shown me all that thou hast done. Remember, I told you your doings are plantings. Orpah had the opportunity to stay, but she left. And Naomi gave Ruth opportunity. Go. She said, I will not go. My honor to you, I will stay. She didn't know she was sowing. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You may not sow in Boaz's field, but provided you sow. Listen, there was her portion in the earth. And when it was time for harvest, something prompted her. You are a reaper also because you sowed. And God cannot be mocked because you sowed. Let's finish that scripture. It had fully been shown me all that thou hast done. Who told him? Well, that all her kindness was in secret. How did the information get to the Lord of the harvest? Boaz was the Lord of the harvest. Boaz did not farm. He was the owner of the land. This is a prophetic adumbration that your prayer in the secret, whatever, the Lord of the harvest, he's seen what you are doing. Listen, he said, while you may not know, the Lord of the harvest. And Boaz said, I give an instruction. She deserves to reap because of an information. He's telling her the reason why he's allowing her. Because God cannot be mocked. Please sit down. Sit down. And Boaz answered and said unto her, watch this. It hath been fully shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of your husband. You would have been weary. Let us not be weary. You had a chance to be weary in well-doing because you lost your husband. You were a woman in pain. If you ran away like Orpah, I would understand. But you continued. It says, because in due season. So, we see the definition of a due season. The season of harvest. What was the seed she sowed? Her kindness, her honor, her love, and how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity and hast come unto a people which thou knowest not therefore. I like verse 12. My goodness, I receive it for myself. It says, the Lord recompense thy work. Stop. Stop. The word recompense means reward. What work did she do? I thought she was only kind. Now Boaz is saying, you were walking without knowing. The Lord reward your work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings. You believe the Bible? Listen, get this as a revelation in your spirit. The Bible says, God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. Your kindness, he saw the seed. As you sent that seed, you did not know that you secured the health of your child for the next 10 years. When he gave you the instruction, when you led somebody to Christ, you were sowing. You see that now? So, most people talk about destinies they will never come into. As I studied my Bible, when I stumbled at this scripture, tears came out of my eyes. So, when she was saying, your people will be my people, it was a demonstration of victory over weariness. If she was a woman who did not have a reason, you see, so the excuse you are giving, Ruth debunks that excuse. She had a right to be angry frustrated, and she was given a chance to go, but she said, I will look beyond my pain. I know I've been disappointed by church, but I will still stay, not to be weary in well doing. I know I lost a job, but rather than offense, I will use the time before another one comes to study and invest in my spiritual life. That you refuse to be weary and you continue your well-doing, knowing that the Lord of the harvest is watching. And he says, the Lord recompense thy work. The Lord recompense thy prayer. The Lord recompense your giving. The Lord recompense your service as a worker, seen and unseen. The Lord recompense your intellectual investment. The Lord recompense your kindness to children you do not know and may never meet. The Lord recompense. For every tear you help to wipe, seeds. Everybody's joy you upheld through your kindness and good words, seeds. For every stranger you showed a smile and said, God bless you. May not have the resources, but I pray the best for you, seeds. Are we learning? To reap, to gather, means to assemble together. Please follow closely. To reap means to bring together. To reap means to collect and make yours. To reap means to bring together so that you can benefit from. So when we talk about reaping or gathering, it is the process that makes that which is in the field come into your habitation. The field is not your house, but you will need to bring it to your house. Because the Bible says, for instance, in Psalm 112, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commands. He said, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Then he says, wealth and riches shall be. That is the final point. He does not find it in his house, but it should eventually be in his house. It only profits you when it comes to your house. That's why she came to the farm to gain, so that she could take it back and profit from. Now, I want to give you, by the Spirit of God, about three keys for tonight. There are about five of them, but I'll just give us three and then we'll pray. I just sense that we'll pray so that are you ready? I want to show you how to reap. Because for many of you, God brought you here because in truth, your harvest has been waiting for you. But if you do not know how to reap, the corn will be wasted. If you do not know how to reap, everything in the farm will be wasted. It will not profit you. You will have wasted that season. Are you ready? Number one. The first way we reap in this kingdom is through the power of speaking. Words, prophetic words, are a sickle. They bring to our lives our harvest. They don't just create it, they bring it. Mark 11:23. The one who can speak is not just a sower, is also a reaper. Did you hear what I said? The one who can speak is not just a sower, but a reaper. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. The last line, please. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Beyond desire, the thing you say is what you will have. He shall have, it will eventually come to you, what you say. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Proverbs 13:2. Let's consider this scripture. Please read with me if you're a child of God. Let's try again. One to go. A man shall eat. Stop there. A man shall eat by the fruit of his mouth, not just the works of his hands. Your mouth has a role in what you eat. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. What is the fruit that comes from the mouth? Words. The words that you send forth don't just create a harvest, it brings and delivers the harvest. But the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. Let's go to Proverbs 18. Proverbs chapter 18, please. 2 verses 20 and 21. If God is speaking to you, shout a loud amen.
Amen.
A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth and with the increase of his lips. The more your words increase, the more you are consistent, it says you will be filled. Like your barns will be filled, your belly will be filled. Are we together now? Then it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it and know how to use it shall eat the fruit thereof. Words, speakings. When it is time for harvest, it is also time to speak. You do not just speak to sow, you speak to reap. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, you are telling yourself now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the gates of Leicester is open unto me. Good men come to me by the Spirit. I am Beulah, I am Hephzibah, by the power of the Holy Spirit. I know that this is my season. Great things have been said concerning me. I compel helpers by the Spirit. You are reaping. You are reaping. Let the redeemed of the Lord help me. Let the blessed of the Lord, let the anointed of the Lord, let the victorious of the Lord say so. Shout it again. The Bible says, declare that ye might test be justified, because where the word of a king is, there is power. Say so. Say so, I am the blessed. Say so, the city opens up unto me. Say so, Gentiles come to my light, and their kings to the brightness of my rising. Say so, I am an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Say so, I am not without help, I am not without support. Say so, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I lay me down and I slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. Listen. If you don't behave like this, you will be a loser in life. You believe me when I tell you this. It's true. Say so. Say so. Say so. Though my beginning be small, say so. My latter end will greatly increase. Say so. Rejoice not over me, my enemies. Ah, say so. A mother needs to say so. A jobless person needs to say so. Even the one who has a job needs to say so. Say so. Say so. Take a minute to make declarations. Reaping the harvest, I say so. Anointed with oil, say so. Favor of the Lord. Blessed in the city, blessed in the country. Someone make declarations. Those following online, take a minute to say so. We reap in the kingdom when we speak. We reap in the kingdom when we send the fruits of our lips. Say so. Say so. say so. Shamanaka paraka parado sabalaka pa rakabadaka dosyata. When men say there is a casting down, I say that there is a lifting up. Nothing dies in my hands. By the Spirit of the living God, I go forth with joy. I am led forth with peace. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. You believe this? Help those under the anointing, please. Now I want you to listen to me. You see, you can speak to create realities, but you can speak to draw them to your life. I wish I were lying to you. I would have just politely apologized. But this is true. Show me anyone who has done much for the kingdom. I show you men who understand how to reap. Say so. Jesus said about himself that he would die, but that he would come back to life. If he was silent, the grave would not open. Jesus, your Jesus. I always wondered why he had to say it. He was not just telling them. He was leaving a word that would be needed 3 days later. Destroy this temple, it will be built again. And so when he was about to step back into the earth, and the gate said, who is this King of Glory? Listen, you know what is unique about Jesus' resurrection? The law of resurrection is that someone on earth who has been given dominion will have to call someone out of the earth to return. You are not allowed to come back into the world of men until someone calls. But for Jesus, there was no one to call him. This is what makes his resurrection unique. He called Lazarus. He was not the first to come back to life, but he was the first to bring himself back. Now let me tell you this. The same principle of resurrection is the same principle that turns a seed to a tree, because all seeds die. And in that state of loneliness with no one there, do you know why seeds grow? Because there was a word that was left on the earth. It was left from Genesis. It still works till today. That is why whether you speak to the ground or not, agriculturally speaking, that word "be fruitful" still carries its potency. It is the corruption of man that has affected creation. That is why we have to aid creation by bringing all kinds of things. You were never designed to assist the earth in producing. The command has been valid and it remains so. But because man became corrupted, creation was also corrupted. That is why the Bible says even creation is groaning. Groaning. There is the glorious appearance of the saints. Creation was affected by the fall of man. Are we together? Number two, please sit. The way we reap in this kingdom, please learn this and do not forget, is that at the time of harvest, we are not silent. For some of you, the unusual burden to pray, and not just to pray and ask, to pray and speak. There are many dimensions to prayer. And sometimes you sense that you are in a season where God will wake you through the night again and again for days and for weeks. It's not always because there is an attack. He's telling you, become a reaper with wisdom. Something that belongs to you, a helper that you call in prayer has arrived. Make sure you create that connection in prayer. and the Bible, insisting that you become a reaper. He even gave you a prayer language, because sometimes we do not know how to pray for as we ought to. It's a limitation. The Bible calls it a limitation, an infirmity. We are not omniscient. We do not know all things, and so we are limited. And He gave us an advantage by the Spirit. Do you believe this? Number two, the second way we reap, the second way we gather our harvest in this kingdom, is by engaging the mystery of praise. Please listen carefully. The Spirit of God is taking me back to the first point again. I have to give you that scripture. Ezekiel 37:7. I prophesied as I was commanded, and bone came to his bone. The bone came to his bone. The bone came to his bone. You may want to write that. Everything can come to itself. It can become whole when you know how to speak. Bone came to his bone. Business partner came to his helper. Are we together? The job you are looking for is also looking for you. You can bring it by calling it. This is what it means. Bone came to his bone. I had the opportunity to go look at your beautiful building. You see that now? Yeah. And I was commending Pastor, and I said, incredible, incredible what God has done within the time that this ministry came here. The power and the wisdom of a reaper. This is part of the mystery the Bible calls the wisdom of the just. There is a way believers operate that does not make sense until you are in the kingdom. The wisdom of the just. It does not make sense. You see, if you don't know this, unbelievers will call you a noisemaker. But in the realm of the Spirit, you know that you are not just speaking gibberish. You are calling for things. Even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not. Let's go to number two. The mystery of praise. Engaging the mystery of praise. Are you ready? Psalm 67, please. Verse 3. Praise is a mystery. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. Next verse, please. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Verse 5. It says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. Verse 6. My God. Then shall the earth. So when you sing and praise God, it is not only God that hears. The earth, where your harvest is, also hears your praise. Your praise unto God is an instruction to the earth. Deliver to me what belongs to me. Your praise unto God is a mystery, because it does not just speak to God alone. It speaks to creation. There is an instruction that your praise gives the earth, even during your harvest. There shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, will bless us. The mystery of praise. Do you believe that? Praise is powerful. So when you find yourself, lock yourself in a room and just begin to dance over nothing, you call it nothing, but remember the Lord of the harvest. I will teach you that tomorrow. Celebrating Him over nothing. And sometimes you would write down the list of everything that has mocked God and drop it on the floor and dance. It may not make sense, but you rejoice, not knowing that your praise is an instruction. At midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed and then they sang loud enough for the prisoners to hear them. Suddenly, when the church prayed alone, angels came. But when they prayed and sang, God did not come to open the door. He broke the foundation. Because when the door is open, it can be closed. You can pass, but your children may not pass. But when the foundation is rattled, the Bible says all doors open. How many doors? Financial doors open. All doors. Let the people praise Him. Creation is already praising God. The trees, the ocean. But there is something about the praise of the people. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. 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 There are two ways, at least, to praise God. One, we praise Him by giving the fruits of our lips in singing. We praise Him even in a dance. Praise is so powerful, it took the head of a prophet. Listen, what the scribes could not do, what the Pharisees could not do, a little girl did. The greatest prophet according to scripture, greater than Elijah, greater than everyone, he went cheaply because a girl came before a king and danced on his birthday. That the king was willing to, without counsel. Kings were not fools, but not in the presence of praise. Was willing to give half of his kingdom. What if the little girl said, all right, so that's a deal, split it. Unusual things happen when we praise. When we praise with understanding. When we praise with understanding. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me challenge you. When you go back home tonight, take a minute. Take 10, maybe 30. Lock yourself. You wasted your dance serving Satan. Now use it as a tool. Let it become a sickle to rip your heart. You wasted your voice serving Satan. Use it as a sickle to rip. Are we together? Listen, I'm not telling you something I don't practice. It's a deep mystery. I can teach all night on what praise does. It has nothing to do with being a musician. If you cannot sing, let someone sing for you. My God. When men praise God. Hallelujah. Every time I talk on praise, I always want to give an example for those of us who come from Nigeria, particularly the Yoruba nation. So during festivals, we have these people who beat drums. And if they want to take money out of you, they don't need to say, give me money. They come to you and in a minute they can invent something, whether you are a chairman or whatever. They can incorporate. They know how to massage your self-worth. It becomes guilty. You become guilty to lead them that way. When you're about to get into the car, they call your name again. Who is the chairman that builds this road? And you feel 1,000 naira becomes 10, becomes 100,000, until you sign a check without knowing. Now, you regret later, but as far as they are concerned, and as soon as they receive it, they just leave you. Do you believe this? I'm telling you it works. Trust me on this. Trust me on this. Trust me on this. Trust me on this. When it is harvest time, we don't just speak. We praise. We praise. We praise before the Lord. before the Lord, we praise. You can praise as a couple. You can praise as a businessman. You can praise. In the midst of tears, praise. Number three, please sit. Listen, these are the mysteries that make ordinary men look mighty. We are not mighty. The Bible says our sufficiency is not in ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. He has made us able by granting us access to light. Creation will see a spectacular display of God's glory from the church even in this season. I am a firm believer that before Christ returns, we will dumbfound principalities and powers. They will see a spectacular manifestation. Do you believe that?
Yes, the world
will bow down and say you are God. Every man will bow down and say you are King. Hallelujah. Beginning from Leicester. So let's start right now. Why would we wait? King of glory, fill His place. Just wanna be with you. Just wanna be with you. King of glory. Just wanna be with you. Let this be a word over Leicester. Yes, the world will bow down and say you are God. Over your city, every man will bow down and say you are King. So let's start right now. Why would we wait? You're the King of glory. Feel His place. Just wanna be with you. Just wanna be. Don't tempt me. We will sing hallelujah till you come again. We will dance in your presence till you come again. We will sing hallelujah till you come again. We will dance in your presence. One more time. We will sing hallelujah till you come again. We will dance in your presence. Give Jesus a big shout, a big clap of praise. This is what praise can do. To the point that when the King is about to return, it's with the blast of a trumpet. The blast of a trumpet. When He came, it was silent. Many did not know. But when He returns, all men will know. There will be a sound. Number three, please be seated. My God, I sense in my spirit, you know, I'm not seeing a vision, but just my mind working. I'm just seeing someone with great barns and a harvest. Do your praise. Harvest. You will marvel and wonder. You will see God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. My God cannot be mocked. Now listen, let me tell you. Most people do not know the role of praise worship in a church service. The average believer, with all due respect, even the leaders who set that program up, we just know that after opening prayer, a group of fine young men and women come and people are just singing, and people are singing without understanding. That's why it does not. God designed a service to make sure if you do it with understanding, you win. Please be seated. Let me give one for now. One last one. So the mystery of words, speaking, as the first way we reap, we gather our harvest. Number two, engaging the mystery of praise. Are you ready for number three? The third mystery that commands, turns every sower to a reaper is joy and rejoicing. There is a difference between praise and joy. Joy is not happiness. No. You can be happy and yet not joyful. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. My goodness. Can I plead that we read together again? I love the word of God. One, two, go. Hold on. He never said shall reap with joy. Joy is beyond a feeling, it's a realm. You can be in joy and reap in joy. Joy can program not just a season of harvest, but it can turn you to a reaper. Verse 6, he says, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless, look at the kind of guarantee, doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hold on, not finding where the sheaves are, bringing it. When the ark of the Lord was returning to Jerusalem, it was not a silent procession. Are we together? Most people do not know how to bring their sheaves with them because of gloominess. Now let's finish the scripture we started in Joel chapter 2. We read to 11. Let's read 12. Joel 2:11. Is it Joel chapter 1? 1, please. Verse 12. Joel 1. Please correct it for me. 1 and verse 12. Let's read. 1, 2, go. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree and the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered. Why? Because joy is withered away from the sons of men. That your joy can affect your harvest. Joy is withered. Your harvest is withered. Joy. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Not rejoice in your situation. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. you can keep your joy as a revelation that regardless what happens, I will guard my joy because that is my sickle. Are we together? Can I give you one more scripture on joy? Joy and rejoicing. Joy and rejoicing. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 12, 3 and 4. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I ask that you read again? Are you tired of reading? You came for a conference. One, two, go. Therefore we joy. Stop. Please stop. You draw water from the earth. Part of the resources buried in the earth is the water. And it says you use joy to draw it out from the wells. Joy. You draw out from the wells of salvation. Verse 4. And in that day, you shall say, praise ye the Lord. As you draw, call upon his name. Declare his doings among the nation. Make mention that his name is exalted. I want to show you the wisdom of reapers. They maintain their joy. They fight for their joy more than they fight for their job. They fight for their joy more than they fight for whatever it is. Because to them, to a reaper, it is better to lose your job and have your joy. You are not at a loss. Let me tell you this. You know what depression does? Please look at me. Look at me. Look at me. You know what depression does? Depression does not come. It knows what to attack. It is your joy. Because when your joy is affected, eventually your faith will fail. Are we learning now? Joy. I just lost my job, but I remain joyful. Because I will glory, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Your joy is connected to a revelation about God that He still saves. Make up your mind that all through this year, 2024, you will be joyful. Regardless what happens, you go to the place of work and your boss, some person is, you know, making you annoyed. Just know it's an attack over your harvest. I preserve my joy. I preserve my joy in the name of Jesus. I rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice in the Lord. Do you know one of the ways? And God trained me on this. I look at everything that happens in my life as I walk with God with respect to the sovereignty of God. That the sovereignty of God has the power to manipulate any and all things and make it for my advantage. This is what gives me joy. Are we together? You know this. So you can now say that all things work together. They are not supposed to work together, but something makes them work together. The job loss, the disappointment, the shame.
You take what the enemy meant for me and turn it. Take what the enemy meant for me, turn it.
Someone get back your joy in the next 1 minute.
You take what the enemy meant for me.
Hallelujah. Let's all stand. We're praying. For we know, they may not know, but we know. This is the reason why we remain in joy. We are never victims. No, we know. Never call yourself a victim because you lost a job. We know. You are not alone. Listen, Ruth would have called herself a victim. I don't know. I mean, you look at the life of Ruth from a human standpoint, all you see is a victim. Lost everyone, lost everything. And Naomi said, go. I don't even have a husband. I cannot have children to grow for you to get married again. Go. And yet she preserved her joy. And so Boaz said, no one should prohibit her from gleaning. She's qualified through her joy to be a reaper. There are people gathered here tonight and so many following online. Pastors, perhaps ministry has not done you well. 1,001 things to be angry, frustrated. But the message tonight is that if you intend to be a reaper, preserve your joy. Protect your joy. Now, I'm not a psychologist. I don't have any professional practice in that area. But let me tell you my recommendation. This mental health cancer that is destroying people, a major part of it comes because of depression. A sense of hopelessness. Did you hear what I said? And this is what the devil wants. So you can conclude by yourself that I'm a failure, I'm a loser, UK will never happen for me, and everything in your life responds to that conviction. No matter the kind of therapy you go through, if you do not get back your joy, I assure you by the authority of Scripture, you see, you weary Satan by remaining joyful, regardless what he does. Regardless what he does. There are people here who have gone through all kinds of things, perhaps lost a loved one, lost your job. We're wrapping up. Listen carefully. Some of you have fought pain, gone through all kinds of things. But let me give you a final word tonight. If you must be a reaper, protect this mysterious sickle called your joy. You may cry, but remain joyful. Never call God unfaithful because of the things happening. The Bible says, in this Job sin not. He said, all the days of my appointed time, I will wait. Having problems with your mortgage, there is a harvest for you. God cannot be mocked, but you must be a reaper. For some of you, I sense that you will not have to wait 4 months again. To wait for the angel to stir the water. And if you are not the first, 38 years could catch up with you. But when Jesus comes, when the Lord of the harvest comes, when Boaz came, that became her season. We're about to pray.
Spirit, break out. Break our walls down. Spirit, break out.
Hallelujah.
Heaven, come down.
One more time.
Break our walls down. Spirit, break out.
Listen to me. Joseph is in the prison, Pastor. He interpreted the dream of the wine presser and the baker. And he pleaded with the wine presser and said, I am innocent. This is not my place. Please, when you go back, you don't have the power, but you have access to the king. Tell the king. But when the gentleman got there, he forgot. Don't blame him. It was God's plan. If he had remembered, the king will write it like they wrote over Mordecai and do nothing about it. Mordecai's goodness was archived, but he was never rewarded. But God needed a season where the attention of the king would not deny the value of Joseph. We don't know how long he stayed in the prison, But we know 2 years was added to it. He had a right to be angry. Like Ruth had a right to say, but I'm the good woman. Why this? I'm wrapping up. Please listen. This is a prophetic word for someone. And the Bible says that a night came when the king... Do you know why? Your harvest requires discernment. We use the example of the field, but the field can mean many things, including a king's dream. It will not always be about gleaning corn. It will be about discerning that a season has changed. You would never call the king's dream the arrival of the harvest. It didn't look like it. The king went to bed and had a dream. Sometimes the harvest can be a dissatisfaction in the heart of Ahasuerus. And he will roam around his palace and say, why am I uneasy? Bring me the chronicles. And open to the place where Mordecai had saved his life but was ignored. And say, what shall be done to such a man? I'm saying this so that you will have the discernment to know your harvest. It will not always come as corn. A harvest can come as pain. That is the reason why you need the seeing eye and the hearing ear. The harvest of Daniel as a faithful eunuch came as tragedy. You would think that the harvest would come as some good news. It came as trouble. Who would have called entering the lion's den a harvest? Because the very next day would be his exaltation. Who would have called Joseph's going to prison a harvest? This is why the Bible says, listen, it says rejoice always. You may not know what God is doing. If God gave you the option of defining your harvest, you will have bought your destiny. Yours is to believe Him. Trust Him enough to know that He loves me too much. So interpret all things from the lens of His love, the lens of His sovereignty, and you will find a reason to rejoice even when it does not make sense. And so the king calls for Joseph, and he went, not knowing that he would never return to prison again. Hallelujah. And having interpreted the dream, the king said, there is no man so discreet and wise. In a moment, he became the prime minister. And with being the prime minister, he had the opportunity to preserve his life, preserve Egypt, and preserve God's people. Now he had an understanding when his brothers came. He was in a position to mete out justice. But he said, no. You did this from the depravity of your heart. But God's sovereign hand was working out a harvest for me. We're going to pray one prayer. Can I request you hold someone's hand? Is that all right? Tonight is a night of hope. Tonight is a night of grace. And for the next 1 or 2 minutes, I want you to pray for your neighbor for strength to not be weary. Please pray. I sense in my heart that many of you who came here, you are about giving up on life, giving up on God, giving up on the prophecy that brought you to the United Kingdom, giving up on the prophecy that brought you to Leicester. Go ahead.
Let hope rise. Darkness trembles in your holy light.
Pray for a brother. Pray for a sister. No, you have come too far. You can't give up on ministry. I know it may not seem to be working, but do not be weary in well doing. Just 1 minute and we're done.
Let hope, let it rise tonight. Darkness trembles in your holy light.
Hallelujah. Listen to me. Please listen. Do you know why I asked your neighbor to pray for you? Jesus was about to sow the ultimate seed, the seed of himself and his life, to bring a harvest of many sons that he's brought to glory. But while on his way to Golgotha, Pastor, even as the Son of God, he became weary. Jesus cried, and the Bible did not hide it. He cried many times, 3 times in total. One with Lazarus, 2nd weeping over Jerusalem, 3rd at Gethsemane. He was in pain. The Bible did not hide it. And then a man called Simon of Cyrene was invited to help Jesus. You would think Jesus would not need help. If he was not helped, he would not arrive there. If he died on the ground, he could not be a curse, because the law is that he has to die on a tree. There are many of you who love Jesus, but right now you are weary. You need the support of the body. You came for this meeting for someone to tell you what he told you will still come to pass. What he told you about your child will still come to pass. What he told you about your school, told you about your health. When he spoke to you, it was stage 2. Now it is stage 4. Still hold on to your integrity. Pastor, at your permission, may I request tomorrow that when you are coming, please come with your prayer request. Hallelujah. Do you believe God answers prayers? Now, let me plead with you, and all protocols here observed. Whatever sacrifice you need to make tomorrow to be at this final session, it will be worth it. Are we together? Make whatever sacrifice under God. That includes those following online. We are going to be praying. I will be showing you one more key. God is insisting that you must reap the harvest. God is insisting in this conference. Do you know why? Because he wants your life to be a praise to the nations. He wants to use you as an epistle. He wants to redefine himself to the nations using the lens of your testimony. That men who have called God unfaithful will repent when they see what he can do through your life. Are we together? So we'll have to stop here for tonight, but let me make the altar call. Please stand, everybody. No movement. Let's honor the Lord. When I spoke in the morning, I told you that our first port of call, as far as defining harvest is concerned, are men, multitudes, the unsaved. It is impossible to have this crowd gather tonight without an individual who was sent by Jesus. We see you as a harvest that can bring glory to the name of the Lord. Wherever you are saying, Apostle, as I heard you speak from the morning session, and even right now, I am convicted in my heart. I need Jesus. I love him. I need him. Or you are here and you are saying, Apostle, I have declined as far as my spirit walk is concerned, and I truly want to rededicate my life to Jesus. Please give me the honor tonight to lead you back to this precious Savior, the one who loved you, loves you, will always love you. He gave himself for you. Do not waste this opportunity. The Bible says, in the day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I'm going to count 1 to 5. And all I need tonight is one sincere person who wants to win this war finally. One person that, if for your sake, it was worth it that Jesus put this program together. As I count 1 to 5, I want you to leave your seat. You belong to any of these categories, to make your way very boldly. And in doing that, don't wait for anyone to be the first. Wherever you are, come. 1. Let's celebrate that. 2. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come. male, female, young, old, come. Children, come. Parents, come. Professionals, come. Students, come. Is someone still coming? Let's bless our mother. I see her coming. Come. Come, my sister. Come. Come. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You will never be the same, I assure you. God bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. And for all those who are following by way of television, following through the internet, here's your chance to make Jesus Lord of your life. You may be following from the United Kingdom, across Europe, America, Africa. Distance is no barrier. When it has to do with the business of salvation, it is that whosoever believes. Thank you very much for all of you who are here. Let me request that you lift your right hand as a sign of surrender to this Jesus. And please say this after me as loud and as clear as you can. Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I love you with all my heart. I believe that you died for my sin. I believe that you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive Jesus into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. I am a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Let me say a prayer for you. Father, the Bible declares that as many who will come to you, you will in no wise cast away. These ones have come. We declare that the power to live the victorious Christian life is released upon you. We call you bona fide recipients of the life of God. And we declare that from tonight until forever, you are grafted into Christ and you remain victorious, going from glory to glory and grace to grace. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, please look at me, all of you who are in front. Let me request for 1 minute that you just move to my right. That will be your left from where you are. You have a word with the counselors. They have a word with you. They'll just pray with you and just communicate one or two details, and then you're back to your seat. Let's honor them as they go. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. Hallelujah. May God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow.